Two scriptures for this morning. First, from the Old Testament, the book of Jeremiah, the first chapter, basically the first 10 verses. Chapter 1, verses 4 through 10. Listen now. This is God's word. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Behold, I formed you in the womb. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." "Ah, sovereign Lord," I said, "I do not know how to speak. I am only a child." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say, 'I am only a child.' You must go to everyone I send you and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord." Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, "Now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant." And then also from Luke's Gospel, where the lectionary is continuing to travel through the Gospel of Luke, eventually and not too far, leading us into the time of preparation for Christmas, if you can believe it. We are in Luke chapter 13, and we pick it up in verse 10. "On a Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. And when Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, 'Woman, you are set free from your infirmity.' And then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and she praised God." Now, indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, the synagogue ruler said to the people, "There are 6 days for work, so come and be healed on those days, but not on the Sabbath." The Lord answered him, "You hypocrite. Doesn't each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the stall and lead it out to give it water? Then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what has bound her?" And when he said this, all his opponents were humiliated. But the people were delighted with all the wonderful things that he was doing. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let's pray. God, it must have been a remarkable day in the life of this woman. For 18 years, she had come to worship. Little did she know or expect what would happen that day. So I pray, Lord, for that same kind of power to occur for those that have gathered here, those that have come seeking you and your face, to know your healing touch and your blessing, O God. May we continue to exercise that faith until you touch us as well. Speak to us through your word that we might be freed. In Jesus' name. Amen. lot of times when I read the scriptures, I let my mind wander just to think about extraneous thoughts that I'm not sure I'm going to find in a commentary, and just to be asking questions so that when I do go to the commentaries or read or study other scriptures, that my mind is especially alert and able to be thinking about different things. For example, when I read this story here in Luke chapter 13, the question I asked was, well, what was Jesus teaching? What was he teaching? We're not told. We don't know. But he interrupts his own sermon, his own teaching, in order to do this miracle. And I've often wondered what it was that he might have been saying, and then possibly had the opportunity to use as a living parable the actions that he did regarding this particular woman. I don't know if there is a tradition or a history that possibly could have related to what was going on in the synagogue on that particular day, but it would be fascinating to know. I would be willing to wager that it somehow had to relate in one way or another to his coming as the Messiah and his giving compassion and love to this woman who had been crippled for 18 years. That's another question I asked myself. 18 years, how did he find that out? Did he just know that? Did he ask her before he healed her? How old was Jesus at the time that this woman came down with this ailment? 12? 15? Somewhere in that order. Now, it was a Sabbath day that Jesus was teaching. And have you ever noticed how many times that the scripture tells us that Jesus did certain miracles on the Sabbath day? On the Sabbath day, it was, remember, his healing here in this passage is vitally important to Luke's overall structure, because in my mind, I always go back to Luke chapter 9 and verse 51. It is at that verse, at that point in Luke's gospel, that Jesus makes a turn. That everything from chapter 9, verse 51, Jesus is heading for the last time to go to Jerusalem. And everything is in the rest of Luke's gospel with that picture in mind. Here Jesus is teaching in the synagogue. Perhaps it was Capernaum. I forever am going to think it was in Magdala. When we were in Israel this past summer, we went to the city of Magdala, and there in Magdala they had discovered, when they were building a hotel, a brand new discovery. It was a synagogue that was in the city of Magdala. It was an amazing place, and I have no doubt that everybody that went to Magdala will remember it because of a couple of the things that we had seen there. I don't think I've ever showed this picture to the congregation before, but in the basement of one of the churches that had been built near this synagogue. There was a painting that was on the basement wall in the church about three times, maybe four times, the size of this particular painting. And that painting captured my attention so much so that when one of the members of our party went back to the synagogue and to the area, they went there just to pick up a copy of this particular picture. And this has been done on a canvas. And I did not see the point exactly, even looking at this huge painting on the wall, of what was being expressed. Do you see the point that's being shown here? It's a miracle of healing. I didn't see the miracle of healing in this painting, but that's what it is symbolizing. You see the healing? What's the special place in the painting? It's not the feet. I thought that's what it was, just a painting of feet. As well, okay, that's what's going on here. Yes, you'll get your chance. You haven't seen it yet, I can tell. Yeah, all right. When somebody comes that can, I'll let you know. Do you see the point that's being highlighted? You see it? It's the woman's hand touching the tassels, the robe of Jesus. And Jesus, in this particular instance, says, "Who touched me?" And she said to herself, "If I could just touch the garment, the tassel of his garment, then I would be healed." You see it now? There it is. And I got this, and because I thought, wouldn't this be fun to paint? And I might just try to do that and have it as a special thing. Magdala. Special place for all of us. You know, it was a dangerous thing for Jesus to heal on the Sabbath day because it was highly frowned upon in the tradition of the Jews at Jesus' time. Still, Jesus seems to be intent, according to the scriptures, on using the Sabbath day in order to heal people. I looked it up and discovered that there are exactly seven different times that Jesus chose to heal on the Sabbath day, and it was always with an audience. He uses these times to teach the people something they needed to know. He's making a statement, and this time it is no different, and he knows this time that he is on his way to Jerusalem. The Sabbath is still important for us today. And as the Ten Commandments express. We need to remember that the Sabbath was not done away with, but simply it was bounded by what Jesus taught about the Sabbath. And what did he say in Mark chapter 2? The Sabbath was made for mankind, not mankind for the Sabbath. And that has never changed. It was a gift from God to humankind. And that gift is still God's gift to us today. Jesus was teaching. He happens to notice a woman who is sitting or standing in the women's section of the synagogue. And he notices that she cannot look up. Essentially, she was so crippled that all she could do was to see the ground that she walked on. And yet she apparently had been able to navigate the terrain in order to find her way to church. Little did she know, on that day that she was traveling to church, what good was going to come from her obedience. She was honoring the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Now, this woman hadn't called out to Jesus like some of the other healing miracles where people had asked Jesus to do something for them. Instead, Jesus notices her in the text. It's the same way today. Jesus notices you, right where you're at. He knows what you need, and he sees that need. In the middle of his teaching, he stops and he calls the woman forward. Now, when a rabbi went into a synagogue, there was a stone that was called the seat of Moses. And it was the place where the scriptures were read. And then the rabbis, when they went to teach, they would sit down on this stone. That particular stone in Magdala, the rabbis sat on that stone. It has been found. And it is now in part of the relics that will forever be a part of the remembrance. It could have been Jesus sitting on that stone when he called this woman forward. Front and center, he called her forward and spoke to her. Now, there's a few issues that present themselves in this particular story. The first is the issue of healing on the Sabbath day, and connected with it would be Jesus teaching to the people who are being scolded by the synagogue ruler for coming to church expecting to be healed. It's funny that that's one of the issues, because the woman didn't ask to be healed. Jesus notices her and calls her forward. There's also another issue here, and it's in the commentators' words. They want to ask the question, was this woman demon-possessed? Was this an exorcism, or was this simply a miracle of healing that did not relate to a spirit or a demon possessing this woman? And that seems to me to be a valid question to ask, because is the text suggesting that every single sickness, every single ailment can be healed by an exorcism or by praying that the spirit leaves the person? Or is this saying something else? It's a good thing to consider. The first issue appears to be that the fact that Jesus is willing to give precedence to people over traditions of the synagogue and its rulers. Jesus has no problem healing someone who is sick and who comes to him in prayer on the Sabbath day. And he frames his actions this way in verse 15. The Lord answered the ruler of the synagogue, "You hypocrites, doesn't each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the stall and lead it out to give it water? Then should not this woman, daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her?" It was a common practice for people to be allowed to take care of their animals on the Sabbath day, to water them and possibly to lead them to a place where the water was or to where the food was stored. They could not raise the water up or bring the water to the food to the animal, but they could untie the animal and take it and let the animal eat or drink if they were so inclined. Jesus uses this analogy because of the particular miracle that he performs. The animal is unbound or untethered to be free to be able to drink. This woman, in like manner, is unbound or untethered to be able to do what she was created to do and to be freed from that which was binding her. She's able to drink and to be able to do what she had come to do. Did you notice in verse 13 what her reaction was? The very minute that she is healed, she straightens up and she begins to praise God. She was a daughter of Abraham, and a good thing had been done for her. Like it was a good thing to water one's animals. And Jesus gives precedence to the woman over maintaining his own sense of security or his position as a rabbi, or even to follow the traditions of the times. Remember, this was a transgression according to the oral tradition. And as Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem, you got to believe that the word of what he has done is going to get to Jerusalem before he does. And yet it was all intended. There's two observations here. Jesus calls the synagogue ruler and perhaps others hypocrites. I wouldn't like to be a teacher in a synagogue or a ruler of a church and have the Son of God call me a hypocrite. I have been a hypocrite sometimes. And I have no doubt that this was a tongue lashing that this guy was never going to forget. The issue is that the word here, hypocrite, is not a Hebrew word. And so because it is pulled out of another language, scholars have indicated that this was something extraordinary or unique, and Jesus makes this tongue lashing even more severe. Secondly, I hope you saw that the ruler scolded the people and not Jesus. It's an incredible misuse of authority and what the rulers had been given the responsibility to do. Let me get this right, Jesus says. You think more of your animal than this human being. This Jewish woman, this daughter of Abraham, this child of God. You think more of your ox or your donkey than this human being. You've got to be kidding me! And the rulers were humiliated. The ruler was afraid to take Jesus on. But he had no trouble taking the people on for saying, that's why you're in church. You've just come to be healed. When Jesus had called this woman out and not the other way around. Also consider the oral tradition that Jesus was breaking in order to heal on the Sabbath. I said that, looked it up, there were seven different places where Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. The oral tradition forbid work on the Sabbath, and healing was considered work. And what does Jesus do here? He shows himself that he is Lord of the Sabbath, and in the process humiliates the leaders who question either his motives or his right to do what he was doing. And the people were delighted. They all had to know this woman. They all had to know that this woman had suffered some osteoporotic type malady that literally bent her spine in half and sealed it so that she could not look up. I just found myself asking, did Jesus know this woman? Had somehow he run into her or seen her or known her from this area, even from the time that he may have been a boy? We'll never know if he knew her or if he asked her, woman, how long have you been bound in such a way? But it's possible that he might have known her and knew that she was a faithful child of God found in church, and that he would find her here on that day. Certainly possible. Finally, we have the question of, was this a sickness or was it a demon possession with a possible exorcism? And 2 points given in the text lead us to believe that it was not a demon possession, and that Jesus healed her rather than casting out a demon. First, as you look at the other instances of demon possession, and there's about 5 or 6 of them in the scriptures, in not a single one of those scriptures does Jesus ever lay his hands on one of those people, but rather he speaks, and he doesn't speak to the person, he speaks to the demon. And there is no such address, there's no such conversation, there is no demon that is being addressed here. The text says that the woman had a spirit of weakness. But it doesn't say it was an unclean spirit like would have been referred to as a demon. still it also says, doesn't it, that this woman was bound by Satan. And so we ask the question, what does that mean, bound by Satan? And the illustration that is used is animals that are bound by their masters being prevented from doing what they want to do or created to drink and to eat on a daily basis. And I think this is much clearer as a point of theology, pointing to the fall and saying that all people are bound in one way or another because of the fall, and that this woman becomes untethered, unbound, and Jesus has come to do that for her, like he has come to do that for all of us. It's a way of an analogy that she is bound by Satan as an animal is bound by a rope. And Jesus came to straighten us out and to free us. And this is the last teaching that he will have in a synagogue before showing himself and his true intent when he arrives in Jerusalem. He shows himself to be Lord over all things, including Lord of the Sabbath, Lord over sickness, and Lord over sorrow. Jesus' actions here with this woman must have sent harsh message to Satan as to what was getting ready to happen. And so I have a friend, a teacher, who says, so what? He says, so you've preached the whole message, so what? What are the issues that bring you here today? Do you have a new issue? You've been dealing with something for 18 years or more? Are you still finding yourself obedient because you know it's what pleases God? Have you come here wanting to be healed? Or have you come here to worship God in the midst of experiencing some ailment or disappointment? What is it that is ailing you or troubling you? Do you see that the text is telling us that Jesus takes notice of you? He takes notice of me. Can you hear Jesus calling your name? Telling you he loves you. That he is the one that has created you, and that he is the one that called this woman forward. Is he calling you forward today? May it be so. Amen. We have celebrations, we have concerns, we have joys. Does anyone here have a celebration or a concern that we can lift to Almighty God today? Anything at all? Yes. Oh my. I refrain from using you as an example. I'm just telling you right off the top. Go ahead. Well, I have a pacemaker myself, so I can understand that, you know, the frustration was possibly there. And but what a great trip, and thank you for your testimony. And Arlene, as I was even saying these words, I noticed you were looking straight at me. And it hasn't always been that way. Not that Wu wouldn't want to look at me, but... Celebration? Concern. You know what concerns me is the world. Yes. Oh. See one of the officers here and going back out on patrol. There were two fire trucks and two police officers that came over to the cul-de-sac right to that side of the church this morning. And we pray for them, for their safety. It's more and more, it's not an easy time or an easy thing to do to be peacekeeper. It's just the way it is. And yet they do what they can, put themselves in, oftentimes in harm's way, for you and for me. We don't like it when they catch us doing something we probably shouldn't be doing. But still, we need to be thankful for them. For family members, they say, I think it's true, that if you live long enough, you'll get cancer. It's not if, but when. And so in the midst of our lives that change and our losses that we experience with loved ones, family, we seek to be obedient and faithful and trusting that Jesus takes notice. I wouldn't want to live any other way, even though I don't get everything I want. Other celebrations, concerns? It's already been a good day. We've got the rain, and it comes at a good time. Will you pray with me the Lord's Prayer?
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.